This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Cray introduces tiered storage.
And another big data supercomputer unveiled.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for November 8th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined again by my co-analyst, Michael Feldman. How's it going, Michael?
Very well. How's it going there?
Doing fine, thanks. We got a week to go, one more week before we all head to Denver. And we did, as anticipated, see some announcements starting up, I think most notably from Cray unveiling their tiered adaptive storage, hierarchical storage management systems. And Michael, you wrote a white paper on this. Why don't you lead us off on what tiered adaptive storage is all about from Cray?
Right, this is an interesting announcement. Cray's, you know, they've made this big storage push over the last year or two, and this is sort of even more so now that they're adding a tiered storage appliance, basically, to their portfolio. And this is a big deal. It's going to have hierarchical storage management. It's an end-to-end solutions, basically. It's not, you can just turn it on and go, but it's everything. It's the hardware, the software, the support. It's all wrapped up here. And
this is with some partners, of course, because they're partnering, I think, with NetApp on some of the disks and Spectra on the tape, Versity
right.
with software.
Exactly. They're using some of their existing partners like Spectra for the tapes, right, NetApp for the disk, and probably in the future there'll be other people they'll hook into as well. For the HSM, the hierarchical storage management software, they're using Versity, and this is new. They've partnered with them, and they've invested in them, actually, as a company. They're minority equity partners now as well. And Versity has created their own storage manager for hierarchical storage out of something called SAMQFS, a file system that's open source that originally came from Sun and then got shifted to Oracle. And now people are using it. It's actually pretty widely used. Even in HPC, it's originally on Solaris, obviously. And the Versity people ported it to Linux, and they've added some other features that make it more enterprise-friendly in certain areas. And now they've come up with their own version of this. And this is what Cray is going to incorporate into their tiered storage system.
Yeah, SAMQFS is not new to the HPC space. Sun, you know, going back to when it was still Sun, had a very active storage presence in HPC, and we still see HPC users who identify Sun and Oracle as their HPC storage providers. If Oracle has a role ongoing in HPC, it's on the storage side, more notably, and we do see people with SAMQFS. So I think that's a natural partnership for Cray in this tiered adaptive storage idea. Now, tiered storage or hierarchical storage management, this has been around for a while, of course. This is not a brand new idea. We've been seeing hierarchical storage management from various companies, storage companies, server companies, HPC companies for a long time.
Yeah, it has been around for a while, but it's one of these things, it's always been sort of difficult to implement. It's basically the idea of you've got this heterogeneous storage system. You've got disks and tapes and sometimes even, you know, flash arrays, and you want to put this into a single system that works as one and sort of is virtualized for the end user, at least from the application side. And that's difficult to do. That needs a lot of intelligent software and you know, expertise around operating systems and drivers, all these things that is not easy to do. It's analogous to heterogeneous computing in that sense. I mean, you've got a lot to deal with. So you've got offerings on the market, certainly, but there's usually some weaknesses here or there in different aspects of this, just because it's so complicated. And this is sort of what Cray is after here. They're offering this integrated solution that's sort of not turnkey, but something that can, from the user point of view and from the application point of view, can act as a single namespace file system.
Yeah, absolutely. I get the complication, and hierarchical storage management has become more pronounced in importance recently for two reasons. One is, on the technology side, you have this influx of SSDs as a new tier in a lot of storage systems, where you've got this nearline, higher performance, higher I/O layer, and then you're trying to migrate data backwards through the different tiers of, here's data that has higher capacity, lower performance, lower cost per byte. Obviously I want to optimize for both cost and performance according to what's the likelihood that I need data again, all the way out to the far end. I might have an archive where, traditionally this was what you call write once, read never, or warn.
Right.
But even with active archives now and big data, you have a sense of, even if I'm not likely to need it, I want to know that I can find it if I do need it. And there's a lot of play for that in media and entertainment, in traditional scientific research, in manufacturing, in oil and gas. How do I go back and get this older data if it comes to it?
Yeah, exactly. This is some of these are traditional markets for Cray, and some of them are a little bit at the edge, but I think they certainly want to play in them. I mean, for us, it's high-performance business computing and high-performance technical computing for basically all of these markets, but this appliance applies to all of those. I mean, the other thing driving this, I think, is just sort of the big data application space.
Second big driver.
It's expanding, so everybody's looking to do something with their data and expanding their data. They're collecting more, and they realize, their storage systems they have, these siloed systems, aren't quite doing it. So in that, I think that's sort of another driver for these tiered storage systems.
Yeah, well, what it is doing is bringing more people into the fold of needing a high-performance or performance-optimized data archival system or hierarchical system, where you're getting the performance on the hot data, the active data, and then still optimizing for not just the hardware costs, the acquisition costs, but the facilities costs of maintaining multiple petabytes, looking forward to exabytes of data. If we're not throwing anything away, that's a lot of facilities costs involved. It's got to be dense. It can't draw a lot of power. And you need to intelligently manage how your data flows through all of this.
Right, exactly. If you're not throwing the data away, you don't want to keep it on expensive disks necessarily, or the high-end disks. You want to have some sort of tier in there that basically can shut down while that just for backup or the nearline archive.
Right, because of course, even within the disk space, there have always been these tiers of the higher performance, faster but more expensive disks, and then the slower, higher capacity, less expensive per byte disks. That's all part of this. And Cray, I think, can organize it into four tiers, right?
Right, four tiers, and you sort of as a customer, you get to sort of pick what's in the tier. I mean, you don't have to have flash, you don't have to have disk, even if you don't want. I mean, or tape. I mean, you can mix and match as you want, and they'll configure it for you. I think, the default is most people are going to have some version of disk and tape, but you could have four tiers of disk if you wanted as well, or three tiers or whatever. So it's user configurable, obviously, and it's going to be application dependent upon how you use your data and what you want out of this.
We have 10 guys who remember as much as they can and another 1,000 who write down everything else.
Exactly. we should mention the other part of the story is Lustre. I mean, Lustre this week, the OpenSFS group came out with Lustre 2.5, which has the hierarchical storage management hooks in it now, and Cray is certainly going to take advantage of that in the very near future to get Lustre sort of the front-end file system for this, and that'll be very welcome news for a lot of people in the HPC community and maybe even beyond that.
You know, that's an important point. For all the discussion there's been around Lustre and whether it can be adopted as a big data or enterprise file system, getting hierarchical storage management capabilities is an important piece of that. And that's essentially what's been announced now is, from OpenSFS as part of Lustre 2.5, with a lot of the work coming from the CEA in France, the Atomic Energy Commission, the French Atomic Energy Commission.
Yeah, exactly. So this goes into the 2.5 release. Now it's available to everybody, and I think Cray and will be one of the first people to take advantage of some of these features now.
Well, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about big data systems really getting on a roll here.
Okay.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance, leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology. Users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
Michael, our other story for this week, this is 3 weeks out of four, we've got a major supercomputing site, what we think of as a traditional research supercomputing site, installing a big data supercomputer.
Yeah, exactly. It's this one's Lawrence Livermore National Lab. They announced something called Catalyst. This is a big data system. It's a small cluster, basically, 324 nodes. This is happens to be a Cray system, but a lot of I/O in there, a lot of non-volatile RAM in this case. It's actually from Intel. These are Intel SSDs, and a lot of IOPS and a lot of I/O bandwidth. And it's basically a research system, but they're looking to use it for some of their bioinformatics applications and some of their other things that need graph analytics and things of that nature.
Yeah, this is a Cray CS300, so it's really the APRO business that's been acquired by Cray. You could think of it as an APRO cluster. It's a Cray CS300 cluster, 324 nodes, which, you know, from a supercomputer standpoint or just a compute standpoint, if we were thinking of Linpack, this wouldn't be the hugest supercomputer out there. But like what we previously discussed with the systems at TAC and at Pittsburgh, it's all of the I/O that they're putting into it that's making it noteworthy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's also a pretty big memory machine. It's 128 gigabytes of DRAM per node. But yeah, the non-volatile RAM is the big part of it, 800 gigabytes, I think, per node there. And it's PCIe connected, so a lot of NVRAM in the system and a lot of IOPS. It's 60 million IOPS for this whole system, which Mark Seeger, the CTO of Intel, noted it's as much as Sequoia has. And in their whole system, that petascale system has about the same amount of IOPS and I/O bandwidth.
The connection between Mark Seeger and Livermore Labs probably not lost on people here.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very Intel system. I mean, from the CPUs down to the flash memory, it's all Intel. Even the interconnect in this case was from the TruScale fabric, the former QLogic technology. That was Intel as well. So this is all Intel. They did a nice win here from CPUs, SSDs, and interconnect.
Well, we're back-to-back on Cray stories today. Is this second one, though, more of a Cray win or more of an Intel win?
I think it's more of an Intel win. I mean, it's an Intel. I mean, the Cray's obviously, you know, they want this system. They're going to get revenue out of it. But, I mean, I think it's sort of significant that it's an all-Intel system, basically. Even the software on top of this, Intel Lustre, is going to be the software that's running this thing.
Not just the software, also the fabric. It's Intel's TruScale fabric, which
exactly.
Is a QDR InfiniBand. So, the QDR80 InfiniBand from Intel. So it's Intel. You know, it's a Cray CS300 cluster, but you go inside it, it's really all, I hesitate to say Intel inside, but there you go.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, this is a nice thing, and everybody loves this. This is big data, and everybody's focused on this now, so it's a nice win for them. And it'll be interesting for Lawrence Livermore to have a system of this size. It's not just for them. They have the Tri-Labs there for the NNSA. Everybody will get to use this for a different set of applications that they're researching. So it'll be interesting to see what happens out of this. Remember, we just talked about, like you said at the beginning of this, that this is the third one in a month. There was a system attack, the Wrangler system, and then the one at PSC, the Data Exacel system that were recently announced. And now these are seem to be popping up all over. And I'm guessing this won't be the last system of this variety that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, you know, there's a funny thing here, though, to ask another philosophical question. We've been talking about how much influence HPC is going to have on big data. This is really starting to feel like a tail wagging the dog a little bit. This is how much influence big data is having on HPC, where now we're having traditional supercomputing sites starting to say we're going to stand up systems for big data. Now, it isn't that HPC sites don't have big data problems. Of course they do. They always have, and they continue to have big data types of challenges. But, you know, is this the funding model from NSF and DOE coming around to saying, well, this is the kind of thing we're ready to fund?
Well, to a certain extent, yeah. I think it is sort of cultural. People are talking about this, and they're starting to think about their applications now, I think, in a different way. Like you said, there's always been these data-intensive applications in HPC. But now people are thinking about them, thinking, hey, I don't have to build, you know, an umptyflop supercomputer to do the data-intensive work. I can build something slightly different, you know, tone down the flops, build up the I/O part of it. Now with SSDs, that's relatively easy to do. So they're starting to think about these applications differently. The applications were always there, but they're getting more scrutiny now, and they're getting systems that are more suited to them. So I think that's what's basically going on here.
I agree with that. I will throw in very quickly before we end the podcast, just on the traditional supercomputing side, I wanted to mention the Department of Defense High Performance Computing Modernization Program releasing its Frontier Awards to two different, you know, this is really back on the traditional high-performance computing or supercomputing side, two different awards, one for the Air Force Research Laboratory for fluid thermal structural responses of vehicles in high Mach number flight, and the other to the University of Massachusetts Amherst on behalf of the Office of Naval Research to do accurate simulation and of turbulence affected by gravity, as well as improved turbulence measurements at high Reynolds numbers, which is really, I guess, a scale that we look at around predictive turbulence.
Yeah, that's sort of an interesting announcement there, right? Those two research projects are now being funded. Good thing that the government was started up again. I don't think we would have seen those, but yeah, that money was freed up, and then they're going to get that.
Right. We don't know how much money, but since we were doing stuff on the big data side, I thought we'd throw in one quick mention of federal government getting some things done on the traditional research side as well.
Yep, that's excellent work there.
And I'm sure we'll see a lot more next week and then the week after that in Denver. Michael, we'll have our regular Friday podcast next week, and then we'll look for some special edition HPC Wire Soundbites live from Denver.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for sure. Okay.
My favorite time of year, Michael.
Mine too.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Addison.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel, the new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.